covering, planning on covering three chapters tonight, so 1 Samuel chapters 26, 27, and 28. Let me give you a couple of quick announcements tonight. I'm sure you're wondering if you haven't heard, Pastor Bob's wife did very well in surgery this morning very early, so full hip replacement, and she walked today already, so praise the Lord. So that's really great. And there was some pain, but she walked and got some good sleep, so they're really praising the Lord there, and he's taking care of some other fun details. Lord is just so good. So wanted you to know, just in case it might work out in your schedule. For many, it wouldn't, but this Friday, we had kind of a little bit of a rush memorial service I'll be leading right here at noon. If anybody could be here and wants to come and help and minister to a family, it's going to be a small service, but we can use some hands and help, and that's just it. Just thought I'd throw that out there and see if somebody wanted to be involved in that. So just a blessing to minister to people when we can, and it's a great time to share the Lord with people, especially with family that doesn't know the Lord. And I think there will be a handful of people that don't know the Lord there, and so it's just a sweet time to maybe change someone's eternity because of somebody passing away. So anyway, that's coming this Friday. So anyway, 1 Samuel chapter 26. Let me open in prayer for us and just enjoy what the Lord is going to do with us tonight. So Father, we just thank you for the good news today. Meredith doing well and her surgery going well. We just praise you for that and thank you. And we just pray that you'd take care of the pain and all of that and help her to be healthy and be able to endure all of what you've got coming forward, Lord. So just thank you and bless her. Lord, we thank you that tonight we get to turn to your word. And as always, Lord, to just be blessed because your word is your word. It's backed by the God, creator of the universe. And the lessons you have for us are meant to be learned and we're to grow by them. And as we look at David and Saul and we see really a few lessons that are very important for us to learn tonight. So would you give this passage, the passages we study, life and bless and encourage us and exhort where necessary. And we ask all of these things, Lord, looking for and anticipating the work of your Holy Spirit. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, it's been a long time. So, boy, 3 weeks ago, my daughter had a baby the night before, so I missed then and then the last 2 weeks break. But here we are again. So let me just give you a quick little reminder of where we are. As you recall, Saul's been trying to kill his son-in-law, David, for a long time now. And, in fact, by the time we get really to the end of tonight, we're going to be right at the scene where David's about to take over the kingdom. And he's been running about 8+ years, and we're going to see him get to the point his last year and a half. But he's been trying to kill him. Saul's made no qualms about his desire to kill his son-in-law. It's really, really a tragic story when you think about it. That he even gave him one of his daughters, Michal, his wife, and he's been running after him, tried to run him through with a spear a couple of times, throwing a spear at him. He's done other things. If you recall, he's tried to hunt him down. And so it's just been going on for a while. Back in chapter 23, besides the spear incidences, we saw a time when he went and saved the city of Keilah. And then after having saved them, Saul decided to come down there and to attack with the purpose of killing David. And basically, the Lord made it obvious to David, and he got out of there. And so this has just been going on and going on. Now, what we're going to get to tonight is the second time in these attempts where David has a clear, pretty simple opportunity to kill Saul if he was to take that opportunity, but he doesn't. And it's been very, very simple, and I love this interesting interaction of the thinking of the two men. You've got Saul, this very wicked man. He's using what I called God talk, like, oh, God gave him into my hand, God this, God that, when clearly the Lord is not with him. He's been very disobedient, very wicked man. But it's amazing how we can so deceive ourselves and think we're doing God's business when we're doing very wicked things. And yet here's David on the other side. I think many would say a justifiable reason to kill a man who's trying to kill you and you're innocent. And yet he doesn't take the opportunity because he believes this man's anointed by God and until God removes him. It's a great, great godly example of how to respect leadership in all of this. So that's kind of what's been going on. And as you recall, the last time we saw that David had this opportunity. It was the time where Saul went into a cave to relieve himself, and David was in that very cave. His men were trying to convince him to kill Saul, and he wouldn't do it. He said, no, he's the Lord's anointed, and his God talks good and righteous and holy. He says, no, I'm going to leave that to God. So he didn't kill him, and tonight we're going to come to opportunity number two for him to kill Saul. And it's interesting now, as you look at verse 1, these Ziphites, this is the second time we're going to see these guys. And you'll notice there, the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah saying, is David not hiding in the hill of Hakalah opposite Jeshimon? And that's the same place he was the last time they kind of tattled on him. It's believed that this people group, the Ziphites, were basically trying to gain favor from the king. So if we can get on his good side, probably knew he was a wicked king, but if we can get on his good side, that will help us. So let's help him kill David, if you will. And so it's actually very sad, but that's the scene. That's what's going on. So it's now another opportunity. Now, the last time, actually, the Ziphites told him, he got down there, and they actually got, Saul got very, very close to capturing David. But the Lord protected him on that one, because right when he was about to attack, they were told, hey, somebody else came and attacked. We need to run and go protect the nation of Israel. So the Lord distracted him. But anyway, here they've called him down a second time. So Saul, we see here his wicked heart. Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph. And look how many he brought, 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him. David's only got 600 guys. Now, they're mighty men of valor, and they're growing in their valor. But these are like the 3,000 chosen. So he's got like my 600 men against like 3,000 Green Beret. This is not going to go well. You know, I don't like the odds. Of course, if the Lord's on your side, you don't need anybody. God can just wipe them out. So he's got his 3,000 chosen men, and they go seeking David in the wilderness of Ziph. And notice what happened. Saul encamped in the hill of Hakalah, which is opposite Jeshimon by the road. But David stayed in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. Now, I want you to look at verses 3 and 4 kind of as a unit, because we don't exactly know how he knew Saul was there. Did he have a spy that he sent, and now he's going to send out additional spies? Don't exactly know, but somehow, at least you can chalk it up at the end to the Lord, letting David know some level of what's going on. But David sent out spies, knowing that Saul is there, to kind of get some intel on where he is, what he's doing. So he sent out spies and understood Saul had indeed come. So somehow the scuttlebutt goes around and he's here. Let's go find out. So that's what's gone on. He now knows he's there. And David's going to show some great bravery in trying to really get in close to Saul and really try to stop him from his insanity of trying to kill an innocent man who's his son-in-law. So anyway, David arose and he came to the place where Saul had encamped. And David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of the army. So Saul's there, right beside him is his commander. And notice, this is just the simple wisdom, how to protect your king. They surround him. And so Saul lay within the camp with the people encamped all around him. So it's just wise. Get all your soldiers, all these 3,000 men, and circle the king. And let's make sure, I mean, if he's going to step through all these guys to get to the king, somebody's going to wake up, which you'd never think 3,000 men. Certainly they would have had shifts for somebody to find David coming in and getting them. God's going to supernaturally put these guys to sleep and protect David. So it's really, really an interesting scene as the Lord does this. But anyway, this is wisdom. They surround the king and try to protect him. And so David knows this. And so David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, he goes to two of his kind of right-hand guys, and a guy named Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab. And Joab later becomes one of his generals, saying, who will go down with me to Saul in the camp? Okay, who's ready to go on a really, really life-threatening mission? All takers. Let's go. Isn't this exciting? You're named. If these guys had faith, you're the king. You're going to be the next king. I'm going to stick next to you. That's the safest place to be, is next to a guy that's living the will of God. And I want to be next to you. So anyway, this would have been interesting. But anyway, I don't think the other guy is a coward at all. I think just one of them jumped in ahead of him. And so, yeah, I want to go. So that's what's going to happen here. So who's going to go? And Abishai, yeah, I'll go down with you. Now, we're going to see this guy's a pretty brave guy himself, clearly, this Abishai, who's going to join him. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp with his spear. Man, he loved his spear, didn't he? Guy never seemed to let it apart from his sight, except when he's throwing it at David. But he loved that spear. So it's in the ground right by his head, and there's Abner laying there, and the people laying around him. Now, do you wonder how loud he was whispering, Abishai? Hey, David, let's kill him. So, what are you going to do? 3,000 soldiers, all green berets. I don't want to say anything. I mean, what's the code for kill him, right? I don't know. But he's there, and he really wants. Now, remember, he's got a vested interest, too. If you're going to join a man that's at odds with the king, and the king's mad at him, you become a public enemy. So you're on enemy's list, too. It's in your best interest to kill the guy, too. And so that's what he's proposing, just as the guys did the last time when they were in that cave. And so he says, David, God's delivered your enemy. So did they like sneak back out and talk? And anyway, he's telling him, God's delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now, therefore, please let me strike him at once with the spear right to the earth. This is a serious warrior here. You just give me one shot, I'll take that spear right through his body, right to the earth. I'm going to pin him to the ground. There will be no second chance needed here. I'll take this guy out. And so that's what he's offering, right to the earth. I will not have to strike him a second time. David, just give me the go-ahead. Maybe he's thinking, David, I know you have this really high level of integrity. You won't kill the Lord's anointed. I'm tired of hearing that. Let me do it. Oh, I'll be the bad guy. And I don't think they saw it as being a bad guy. They really believed, you're really pretty wicked. He's a wicked guy. It'd be best for us to just get rid of this wicked king. So here's David, once again, doing the right thing. David said to Abishai, do not destroy him. For who can stretch? And here's his logic. And David hung to this until he became king. And he learned some great lessons. He's not above making mistakes. We're going to see in the next chapter, he's going to make a serious mistake that's going to lead to some real problems for a year and a half, that is going to put himself into some real hot water. David will. But at least in this one, he's doing very good. So his logic, who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? I can't do it. I can't do it. God put him in his position. You know, it's interesting. It reminds me when I look at what the Bible tells us about leaders. 1 Timothy 2. Pray for all leaders, all kings, all who are in authority, that you may live a quiet and peaceable life. That's what we're to do. Even if we don't get what we want in terms of righteous rule, at least we have peace in our heart, remembering God's really the one on the throne, not them. God still is sovereign. We can trust him. So it does a lot of great things for us. But David, I love what he does here. It's one of the great lessons about how we really, really, really need to trust the Lord to avenge us. And God is very, very good at avenging us. Now, I think he's really fulfilling here what we come to know later in Romans chapter 12, where it says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And you may say, well, Dave didn't have the book of Romans. Well, let me read it out of the book of Deuteronomy. He had it. So Deuteronomy is speaking to the next generation. That is speaking to the nation of Israel, but you'll get the principle. Moses told the people of the Lord, vengeance is mine and recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them. God will take care of him. And David's telling his men, and being a great leader, trust the Lord to take Saul out when the time is right. And so that's what he's saying, and I really, really appreciate him and taking this stand, even though his men would have been probably strongly pressuring him to kill Saul. And then David furthermore said, and notice the three things that he says about what could happen to Saul. As the Lord lives, and I love that opening. He's written, put your eyes back on the Lord, Abishai. God's alive. It's okay to leave him alive. As the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him. That may be how it happens. The Lord may just strike him. So David knows if the Lord wants to strike him, the Lord can strike him. That's one option. Or his day shall come to die. He's going to have a day, have a heart attack, have a who knows what. He's going to die one day. Don't know when that day is going to come. Or a third option, he shall go out to battle and perish. And that's going to actually happen to him again in about 16 months from this particular scene here. So anyway, he lays that all out, but what he's saying is he fully is trusting the Lord to take care of the situation. So I just really, really appreciate David's heart here. And so he's going to leave it in the hands of the Lord. And then he reminds him again, the Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. He says that again. He keeps reminding his men, you don't get to take out somebody that the Lord has appointed and anointed to be a king. And he could have said, I'm anointed to be king. I have a right to kill him. But no, when it's time, God will take him out and then I will be elevated. Always let the Lord do the elevation to your position, whatever ministry he has. That's the safe place to be. So anyway, that's what he says. But please take now the spear and the jug of water that are by his head and let us go. So this is interesting. Remember the last time he cut a corner of his garment? You remember that and took that out? He even felt guilty about that. And this time he doesn't feel guilt because he can return it without damaging his garment. But I like what he does here in taking that because he's going to have clear proof. Once again, he could have easily taken out the king. So David took the spear and the jug of water by Saul's head, and they got away. And no one saw or knew it or awoke. And don't you love the end of verse 12? Whenever you're in a rough situation, this is one of those great verses to remember, you can trust the Lord. Because you'd have never thought you could get 3,000 really great, high-quality soldiers to fall asleep at the same time. But they were all asleep. That word all is very important because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. Isn't that great? The Lord did it. Now, I don't know if David knew that. He's going to make comments later directly to Saul in this chapter that, hey, the Lord did this. I don't know what exactly he knows, but he did attribute this to the Lord. He's right in that. But this is just interesting tidbit we're given that God had a hand in this and his safety marching right into the center of the camp. And so anyway, that's the scene. David went over to the other side and stood on a hill afar off. That's wisdom, right? Get as far away as that from that guy as you can before you wake him up and yell at him. So it says, afar off, a great distance. The Lord's going to make sure there's no doubt we know David was wise and got a long ways away. It's interesting that sound travels amazingly well in Israel. It just does. I think the Lord just did that so that when, you know, later Jesus comes along and he's preaching these sermons to thousands and then it just travels really well. There are some places in Israel, you stand on a beach and practically whisper and a mile down, they'll hear you. So it's just really, really great acoustics there. The Lord knows what he's doing. So anyway, he yells across. David called out to the people and now he's going to actually give Abner a hard time. And I think it's kind of funny personally, but he's going to harass him a little bit for not protecting the king. And this would be where it'd be interesting. The Lord put him to sleep, so you can't completely blame Abner for it. But notice what he says to him. Hey, do you not answer Abner? And Abner answered, who are you calling out to the king? And David said, are you not a man? And who is like you in Israel? Because he's the commander. Why then have you not guarded your lord the king? What's wrong with you, tough guy? So it's what we might call trash talking a little bit today, right? It's like, of course, he means it. He means it. He really dropped the ball there. But again, the Lord had a hand in it. So anyway, one of the people himself, right, and Abishai, came in to destroy your lord the king. We were standing right beside him. And they know he was right beside him. He's going to show him the spear in a minute. And that spear was right by his head in that jug of water. Abner knew unequivocally when this information shared that he just about lost his king.